I count it a privilege to stand before you with this assignment, and yet I do think that the boys work the old man kind of hard at times. I would invite you to take your copies of the scriptures and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We will glean a few things from chapter 3 as well. Thirteen years ago, I was asked to bring the first BMA message at the first convention, which was held at Plain City at the United Bethel Meeting House. And we looked at this text at that time. And this is a bit of an adaptation of the remarks of that day. Please keep in mind the context of chapter 4. It follows chapter 3 that begins with the familiar words, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." And then there is a description of those times. And we just love to look at that description and say, that is the way the world has gone. However, please be reminded that Timothy, the books of Timothy and Titus, are what we call the pastoral epistles. And they are talking about conditions in the church. And so it is. And Timothy is then reminded of how he followed the Lord in following the doctrine, verse 10, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me, says the Apostle Paul. You have followed these things. He reminds Timothy that evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14 of chapter 3, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." At the 14th Annual Convention of BMA, it is important to reflect not only on who we are supposed to be and who we committed ourselves to be, but also to think in terms of a report card. And as I reflect over these years, I'm not sure that we get straight A's. In fact, I'm quite certain we don't, as we evaluate how we have done with the vision of the beginning. And yet, I'm not sure there are any F's yet. It is important that we, as Brother Todd suggested, return to our purpose as an organization, evaluate where we are in light of that stated purpose. The mission statement of BMA, which you find in the Constitution, says, "Acknowledging the Holy Scriptures as God's timeless truth, which is completely sufficient for all of man's needs, Matthew 4:4. The Alliance is committed to the worldwide propagation of that inerrant word in order to provide fellowship, instruction, accountability, prayer, missions, and service opportunities to the congregations and ministers of conservative Anabaptist theology and practice. We do need to return to that vision, take a look, and see how we are doing. And in light of that mission statement of our organization, several of us, and I had the privilege of probably being the first one in the field and the first one to retire from that field when Brother Walter took that over, that of representing BMA among the churches. I had the privilege of representing BMA, I think, in all of the charter churches. And we commonly looked at four things relating to what this organization should stand for. They are alluded to in the mission statement. And it is important for us to review them. This talk this morning is not specifically an expositional talk, but it flows out of the burden of the Apostle Paul in the passage that we have read. And the first of the four things is the sufficiency of Scripture. And Paul certainly taught that in the passage that we read from 2 Timothy. That is to say that the Scripture, the Word of God, written, is exclusive for salvation. It is the thing that points to Jesus Christ, the living Word. We do not depend for these things on dreams and visions, although there may be dreams and visions. We do not depend for these things on the voice of the Christian community, at large or specifically local. We do not depend for these things on natural revelation through the creation, as much as that may reveal the Creator. We depend for these things on the written Word of God, which is, as the mission statement says, and as Paul rehearses here, sufficient, entirely sufficient for man's needs. As we think then of the sufficiency of Scripture, we as a organization have committed ourselves and early committed ourselves to the practice of everything the Bible clearly teaches. And that probably is the distinctive of our organization as opposed to some other organizations from which some of us came. And in my own spiritual pilgrimage, before we were Mennonites, that which we so much yearned for, to say good things and write things and to adopt good statements is only the first step in discipleship. To put those things in practice is what the Anabaptist position is really all about. And so it is important that we understand that BMA stands for the practice of everything the Bible clearly teaches. And in doing that, there will need to be some applications. And we don't always agree on those applications, but they must exist. And talking with people outside of biblical practice, we often end up at 1 Corinthians 11, because it is a scripture that we obviously practice. And what I commonly tell them in that dialogue is, okay, here's the scripture. Now, what are you going to do with it? You do have to do something with it. You cannot take scissors and cut it out. What are you going to do with it? And that is a question that we at BMA have committed ourselves to answer and to live out. Not just about 1 Corinthians 11, of course, but about every passage of Scripture. It must have a practice. And to some level, we have to agree within an organization how we are going to practice it. But it must be practiced. And in the early days of BMA, that was one of the key emphases. We have agreed to practice, to live out what the Scripture teaches. Related to that is a strong commitment to exposition of the Scripture. And we have tended as ministers, all of us, and we have seen that tendency across the evangelical world as well. We have tended to moralize the Scriptures. In other words, we preach from the Bible. We make life applications. But we do not necessarily expose the Scriptures, particularly in the area of our discussion this weekend, in terms of the gospel. So the Scriptures need to be exposed, not merely moralized. We can certainly draw lessons from them, but what do they mean in life-changing ways for us is probably the bigger question. And so our position as BMA people has been an exclusive position. Secondly, that which Paul alludes to in terms of the relationship of Timothy to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have unashamedly taken the position from the beginning of what is commonly referred to as lordship salvation. If the Lord is not Lord of all in your life, he is not Lord at all, goes the old cliche. And lordship salvation has been, and I trust will continue to be, the position of this organization. It is our particular view of the gospel. And you've heard it referred to in the calls to repentance, in the recognition of the depravity of man, in the teaching on transformation of what God will do in the life of the repentant person. That has been an ongoing position of our organization. It is, as I said, our particular view of the gospel. It is not enough to try Jesus, you'll like him. That is a sad joke. Must bow the knee in full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. The third distinctive of our organization, which again is alluded to in the mission statement, is in the area of missions. We, from the beginning, have committed to a strong missionary emphasis. And that mission has been directed toward the unreached people groups of the world from day one. The mission statement refers to that. The Alliance is committed to the worldwide propagation of that inerrant word. We took a position on inerrancy from the beginning, you'll see there. That inerrant word, the Scriptures. And that is to be taught. Not merely nice evangelistic crusades, which are fine, but not merely that, but the discipleship instruction of the Word of God across the world and particularly focused on unreached peoples. We also took an ecclesiastical position on that churches need to be established as a part of that mission vision. Not merely people won to Christ and left on their own, but discipled and brought together into Christian community in local churches. That is what BMA is to be about. We have said that our earlier distinctive that I mentioned under the sufficiency of Scripture, in other words, the Scripture is to be practiced, that needs to be imported as a part of that missionary emphasis. And so when the Bible talks about modesty, it talks about modesty. There are particular ways that some people practice that. We have not committed to specific ways. And we have said from the earliest of days, we will not require North American or European specific clothes on the mission field, but a loincloth is sin. And they must cover up. That is a part of the teaching of Scripture. They do not have to wear our clothes, but they must cover up. In other words, they must practice everything the Scripture teaches as much as we are required to practice everything the Scripture teaches. And the final distinctive that we've emphasized from the beginning, and there are others, but these are the four main ones that we have commonly presented, is the distinctive of separation. Nasty word. You want a sophisticated word? Use the word sanctification. But it means separation. Okay? We are to be a separate people, not an isolated people, but a separated people unto God. And that does mean that we will look somewhat different from the world, normally. And that does mean that we don't bring the world into the church. That separation is both ecclesiastical, in other words, our churches are not to yoke themselves with unbelievers or those who practice apostasy. And it is personal as to what we as individuals will do and will not do and how we will live and how we will practice. This is what BMA was envisioned to be. And in conclusion, I would like to say that as the mission statement also says, we agreed from the beginning to be accountable. And that has been stressed so much that some people say that is the middle name of BMA, unlettered, accountability. We agreed to be accountable to each other. We agreed that our churches would be accountable to BMA, and BMA would be accountable to our churches. We agreed that it would be the case that a congregation can be dismissed from BMA as much as an individual member of a congregation living in sin can be dismissed. This was to be an exclusive organization in those ways with full accountability, not just token accountability. So we've talked about sufficiency of Scripture that needs to be preached, as 2 Timothy 4 says. Charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and dead at his appearing, preach the word expositionally. Report card might dip in its grading on that point. We've committed to Lordship salvation as our understanding of the biblical gospel. We've committed to missions specifically focused toward unreached people groups and the establishment of churches and the teaching and discipleship of practicing everything the Bible clearly teaches on the part of the converts, as well as ourselves. And we have committed to separation, or sanctification, but being a set-apart people by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, both as churches and as individuals. And we have agreed to be accountable to one another in the light of the Scripture and to the organization as we walk together in truth. That, I believe, is the BMA message. And may God challenge us, convict us, and guide us in staying the course. God bless you.